Psychic Radio. WYCD. HD3 Detroit. KJAQ. HD3 Seattle. WBMX. HD3 Boston. And on AOL Radio. And Yahoo Launchcast.
How would a paranormal investigator answer the question, what is heavenly joy? How does it relate to adventures with ghosts, psychic development, and UFOs? And how does any one person find time to write 42 books? Jeez, I've only written 8. That makes me sick. Anyway, here we are. Again, welcome to the 104th broadcast of Behind the Paranormal with Paul and Ben Eno. I'm Paul, and I'm afraid Ben is not with us tonight. I gave him the night off. He had a chance to go see some old friends up near Boston, and despite the impending weather, I said, well, hey, go for it. So he won't be with us tonight, but he sends his best. And a very special welcome to all the listeners on our newest broadcast venue, Para X Radio, which is carrying the live feed of our Sunday show here beginning today. And we're in for a real treat tonight as we have our first of what we hope will be many visits with America's Paranormal Renaissance Woman. Our call-in numbers here at CBS Psychic Radio and PsychicOnAir.com tonight, our toll-free number just for this show, 866-894-3141, toll-free from anywhere in the USA, or 248-545-SOUL, that's 248-545-7685. Or if you're listening on a computer, use the nifty instant feedback feature to the right of your homepage screen. Rosemary Ellen Guiley is one of the world's leading experts on the paranormal with 42 books, including 9 encyclopedias, or encyclopedia, and hundreds of articles in print on a wide range of paranormal, spiritual, and mystical topics. She roughly has 1 million copies in print. Like me, Rosemary has a background in professional journalism. She holds a BA in communications from the University of Washington at Seattle, where folks are listening, I hope, on the great KJAQ 96.5. Her popular encyclopedias on ghosts and spirits, angels, demons, vampires and werewolves, magic and alchemy, witchcraft, dreams, mystical and paranormal experiences, and saints are considered essential sources for authors, researchers, film and documentary producers, and paranormal investigators. Her work has been translated into 14 languages and has been selected by major book clubs around the world. She appears in television programs, documentaries, docudramas with paranormal themes, makes numerous media and lecture appearances, including colleges and universities, conducts original field investigations of haunted and mysterious sites. Rosemary is a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with dear old George Nuri, and on many other television and radio. We'll talk about that a little later. Rosemary's website, www.visionaryliving.com, visionaryliving.com. Her credits go on and on, but let's talk with her. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, welcome to Behind the Paranormal.
Thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
Well, it took us a while to get her, but here she is. Anyway, we've got a couple of questions from Ben here, because he usually starts, and he said, Dad, don't forget to ask her this. I'll quote, funny that I've never asked my dad the same question, but how did you ever get from journalism to paranormal studies?
For me, it was quite a natural progression, and it was a marriage of my main interests, my personal and my professional interests. I'd been interested in the occult since I was a kid. Like most children, I had some psychic experiences. I think just about every child does. I was by no means a psychic wunderkind. I wasn't like the boy in Sixth Sense. But I did have some experiences, and so did other members of my family. And I think because I was also fascinated by the supernatural, science fiction, fantasy, a voracious reader. I loved astronomy when I was young, even had ambitions for some time to be an astronomer. That kept my interest in the paranormal going. I was absolutely fascinated by it and why it was so mysterious, why people had uneven experiences. You know, no two people could seem to have the same experience at the same time. And as I got older and got into journalism and newspapers, magazines, the wire service, my own quest for information just naturally led me to start writing about the paranormal, and I aspired to be an author. although originally I was going intending to do more fiction with the paranormal than nonfiction. And I think it was my thirst for information that just led to the domination of nonfiction in my life. And what I've been doing is really pursuing my joy, which is a personal quest for information, and it's my professional livelihood as well.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, like us, this is another question from Ben. Like us, you study all areas of the paranormal. Do you see any common link between the human experiences of ghosts, UFOs, lake monsters, and all that?
I do. I think all of these things are interconnected. I think that our paranormal experiences take us into other realms, parallel dimensions, otherworldly realms. I think that the beings that we encounter are probably beings in their own right that exist in these other dimensions, and we experience them when we have these intersection points where the dimensional boundaries thin out and join together, you know, portal areas or momentary states of consciousness where we transcend ordinary reality. And if there is one thing behind all of these experiences, I haven't found it yet, but I've found in examining our experiences that we often put different labels on what may be the same experience. We just explain them differently in terms of our times in history, cultural influences, even religious influences. I did an informal study once, for example, on angel experiences and ET experiences. And except for the people who described abducting experiences, because I haven't found any abducting angels yet, huh. But if people were being visited by well-intentioned, lofty-minded extraterrestrials who were coming to help and inform and teach, they were almost identical to similar experiences that people ascribe to angels. And it just seemed to be the label that was different, not the experience. So I believe that human beings have had these what I call core experiences of encounters and paranormal phenomena throughout our history. Clearly, we're experiencing something that is not completely of our reality. The question is, what is it, and why are we having these experiences, and what should we be doing with the awareness, and how should we be integrating them?
Well, all I can say is bless you, child, because you are among the few guests we ever get of your stature who seem to, I hate to say agree with us, but I came to very similar conclusions by the late 70s, and I know I've always felt like a voice crying in the wilderness when it comes to multi-dimensions and a sort of deeper understanding than the seance room, so to speak. Anyway, let me remind everybody of our call-in numbers tonight. Toll-free, 866-894-3141. Toll-free from the U.S., or 248-545-SOUL, 545-7685 from anywhere else or anywhere, period. Or if you're listening on a computer, use the instant feedback feature. We're speaking with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, paranormal renaissance woman. I think that pretty much sums it up. Now, many of the experts I just mentioned, you know, we don't suppress any opinions on this show. I respect everyone, and I'm the first one to admit maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I came to these conclusions because I have this weird theological background or whatever. I don't know. But it seems to me that a lot of them seem stuck in the 19th century, especially a lot of pop ghost hunters, as they call them. You know, bless their souls. They're the salt of the earth. A lot of them are doing great work. But it seems that we ought to be, I don't know, I wanted to get your comment on this. We ought to be using what we're learning in the paranormal to teach cosmic lessons, to say, here, Joe, okay, you know, you drive a truck during the day, but you're also alive in a zillion other worlds where you are all the rest of us, you know, where you are so many things that is beyond what we can imagine. It can transform our spirituality and our whole understanding of the universe. And it's very hard to communicate that. I don't know.
Well, it is, because a lot of people get stuck on phenomena. That's where the excitement starts, and that's where it stops. And that's one of the shortcomings that I find in paranormal investigation a lot, is that people are fascinated with experiencing phenomena, and that's all they want. And they stop asking questions after they've, you know, hey, we've got a ghost here, kind of had that kind of experience. I've always told people that if you stay in the paranormal long enough and go deep enough, you wind up asking the same very profound mystical questions that people have asked throughout the ages. The paranormal becomes very much a spiritual and even mystical pursuit.
Exactly, yeah. How
and
long have you?
A lot of
I'm
people
sorry.
Don't realize that those dimensions to the paranormal, where you know we're entranced by ghosts and monsters and scary things, and we don't realize that there's much more depth and dimension behind that.
Yeah, well put. Well, we did a show yesterday on another station about world peace and the paranormal, and the conclusions were very interesting and rather inspiring. How long have you been investigating the paranormal?
Well, full-time since about the early 80s. I became self-employed in 1983, and initially I did a mix of things, you know, to get projects going. Some of them were paranormal, and some of them were more commercial-oriented, you know, business writing and things like that, general commercial sorts of articles and even book projects. But I was doing paranormal investigation in the 80s before it got to be a very trendy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the 80s, if you did ghost hunting, it was considered to be kind of an odd thing.
Tell me about try it in the 70s. That's when I started. I thought I was nuts.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And, yeah. You know, who had a lot of equipment? It was simply
well,
wasn't
we had a camera
to
and a tape recorder.
Public.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
You had a camera and a tape recorder, not
that was
a digital.
It. Yep.
And you took a notepad and, you know, maybe some old-fashioned things. But you didn't have all the technological gadgetry that people have today. So the field has changed substantially.
Absolutely.
And that's good because we have more, I think it's good that more sophisticated equipment has gotten out there.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. We got to wrap for a break. Sorry to interrupt. We're going to take a commercial break here. Be right back on CBS Psychic Radio, Behind the Paranormal, with Paul and Ben Eno. And tonight, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. We'll talk about ghosts. Stay with us.
Be sure to check out Breakthrough with A.J. Barrera, Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern on The Sky. Breakthrough with A.J. Barrera will feature world-renowned experts in the body-mind-spirit fields, authors, celebrities, conversations about personal life issues in today's society, and intuitive readings by A.J. Barrera. It's a show that'll transform lives. Breakthrough with A.J. Barrera, Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, live on The Sky.
CBS Radio's The New Sky. Believe. NewSkyRadio.com.
See? don't know why I didn't come. I don't know why I didn't come. I don't know why I didn't come.
Psychic Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky. Back to Behind the Paranormal with Paul and Ben Eno. Call now 248-545-SOUL. New SkyRadio.com. Believe.
And we're back behind the paranormal. We have Rosemary Ellen Guiley with us tonight, paranormal renaissance woman, and we do have a call, and we will get to ghosts soon enough, but we have our reporter, Cindy, with us this evening, and we have our show has reporters. If anybody's interested in that, check our website, behindtheparanormal.com. You can fill out a little application for that. So, Cindy, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you doing tonight?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, how are you tonight?
Hello? I can barely hear you, so the connection isn't terrific, so I try not to yell.
Okay.
Oh, I had a question. I emailed you earlier, Paul, for Rosemary, as well as the listeners. It's just an issue that has bothered me for quite some time, and I've never been able to get a good answer. And that is in regard to, and Rosemary, both of you, since it's in regard to EVPs and photographic evidence and of spirits. Or I don't like that language, so forgive me. I'm using antiquated language for my idea, but why
yes,
is Cindy's it?
Yes, Cindy's one of my
that,
disciples.
yeah, right. Why is it that, and I watch all the ghost shows just because I like to see what they're finding, I see quite often, like, the EVPs will not be evident until the recording is played back. Likewise, video evidence. They didn't see it on real time, but on replay, there's some sort of evidence. Why is that? If the frequency is out of our frequency range in the first place, what is it about the equipment that's bringing it into our frequency range so we can see and hear it? What, there's a gap there, and I don't understand what the translation is.
And I don't think we have a really good answer to why it happens that way. That's something that's puzzled me, too. But, you know, the new development in EVP for real-time EVP is, and also in instrumental transcommunication, which is, real-time video, there are experiments and research is being done all over the world in that regard with evidence. It's very controversial. It's very unreliable, but people are getting real-time communications and images.
Okay. Well, I just
so
was curious.
It may be a matter of technology. I sort of think it has to do with how these transmissions of manifestations are made, and perhaps we lack the right technology to capture it properly. I think that we're probably in very primitive stages in that regard.
We were talking during the...
Everything vibrates. Everything has a frequency. So I'm certain that it has something to do with that, but it's like I've never been aware of anybody that's selling camcorders saying, "Oh, by the way, this will bring in spirit evidence."
Yeah, on demand. There's a lot of talk about the supposed telephone of the dead. Can we?
Oh yeah, that Frank's box.
In fact, I have six of those devices. I have four Frank's boxes and two mm-hmm. mini boxes, and I've done quite a bit of experimentation with them for several years now, and I have gotten recordings that are both, they come in both as what we would call passive or traditional EVP, that is, you don't hear it until you listen to the recording, and some of it real-time, that you're hearing it while you're listening to it.
I've heard of that, too,
questions that I simply can't explain naturally, that cannot be explained as, just synchronistic bursts off a radio. If you've got a scan going very rapidly on the band, you're only going to get a word or a couple of words at a time off any one station.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the communications are just too long.
I might tell the listeners, too, I did some homework on this. one of Paul's guests, Murray Silver, had a show on in September of 08. And it's show number 16, if everybody would like to go back and kind of listen to that, or Rosemary, you might check it out. He had an interesting theory, not specifically on this specific issue, but on something that you were talking about earlier in the beginning of the show, and I think everybody would be interested to go back and check that out, because I'm old. I have to have my mind refreshed, you know.
Tell me about
it. Okay, well, thank you. I won't take any more of your time, and thank you for letting me call in tonight, Paul.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much, Cindy. Cindy
All
lives
right.
in Kansas
Bye-bye.
City.
Bye-bye.
You know, it's very interesting that, funny, during the break, Rosemary and I were talking about what it was like in the real old days when I started. You know, you probably had Triceratops was grazing on the town green. And we had just the opposite situation. We had in this, our first case, which was this lost village, as they call it, in Pomfret, Connecticut. A bunch of us stood there, and we heard children laughing by this brook, moving up and down. The sound was very unnaturally speedy, sound moving up and down this brook. And we attempted to record it, and we couldn't. So here's an example where we could hear it with our ears, I guess, but not with recording equipment. Now, albeit 1971, the Flintstones, you know, had tape recorders like this. So who knows? Maybe the technology had changed. But the one thing I always ask EVP people is, if the spiritualist approach is correct and these are spirits rather than whole people, then what do you do? You know, you got stuff being recorded, which has to come from vocal cords, but no bodies. Hence, what's that? You know, so they said, well, I don't know. You know, but then there are other explanations, too. So
well,
I don't know.
There is a lab in Italy that's done some very interesting forensics on some of these recordings to try and determine whether or not they're real people talking, live people. And I don't know what the statistical breakdown is, but there are, a fair number of them that can't be explained in terms of coming from living voices. So where are they emanating from? And there are a number of possibilities. They could be entities in other realms. They could be the dead. We could be talking to versions of ourselves in parallel dimensions. Some people have even speculated we're talking to our future selves.
Yeah.
And we simply don't know.
Okay.
You can't have long enough conversations, real time, to get any solid information that you can validate in very good ways.
That's true. I believe Paul Innocenti is working on that project. He's going to be our guest in March. I don't have it right in front of me, but we do have Dave Marsh, one of our other, our newest reporter on hold, and I'm sure he's got something interesting to ask and to tell us. So, Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Very good. And thank you, and it's an honor. The question I have is, it seems to be a growing trend for people that own haunted facilities and haunted buildings to use them as marketing tools to bring in ghost hunts and paid ghost hunts. And they're making a lot of money on haunted locations. So I'd like to get your opinion on capitalizing on ghosts and people using ghosts almost as pets and not doing enough to help them cross over and cleanse these facilities.
Well, first of all, we can't assume that there are earthbound souls at all of these places. I think that the majority of haunting phenomena are remnants. They're like memories stuck in space. Kind of shells or impressions left behind and not necessarily earthbound. My experience, I will say limited experience with earthbounds because I don't really go looking for them to do releasement work. I have done releasement work, is that not all of them can be automatically helped all the time. Depends on the reason why they might be stuck, whether or not they want to become unstuck. And the ones I've encountered are, unless they know they're stuck and they really want to get unstuck, there's not much that you're going to do to dislodge them. You're not going to get rid of all the ghosts in Gettysburg, for example. Some of them are just going to be stuck for a very long time, and some of them, I think, are just, they're literally phantom reenactments going on all the time, and some of that may have to do with the geophysical properties of all that granite in the soil. As well as, you know, the bloody violent events that took place there. So it becomes very complicated in terms of why a lot of places are haunted. And one trend that I have noticed as I get deeper into more complex cases, and Paul can relate to this too, is that a lot of times there are things, I think that there are entities and presences who create haunting phenomena that are not the human dead, but may manifest a lot of phenomena or even masquerade as the ghostly dead, and they're not going to be dislodged. They've got access to our world, and they're very territorial about it, and we're not going to get rid of them. In relation to your question about capitalizing on it, the commercial aspects of it, I don't have too much of a problem with it because it's bringing an awareness of the paranormal to a wider audience. Yes, a lot of people are just in it for the thrill-seeking. That's one of the shortcomings in paranormal investigation in general. But for some people, a deeper interest ignites, and they do pursue it in a different and broader perspective. You know, it becomes a beginning of a journey instead of just, entertainment for the evening. So it's a mixed bag, you know. It's a kind of a double-sided sword of pros and cons.
Well, you know, actually, David, the same thing has kind of bothered me from time to time. But on the other hand, I tend to agree with Rosemary that in a lot of cases this is not necessarily what it appears to be. I'm thinking, for example, of the one of the few conferences I've been invited to speak at. I don't know, people don't tend to like what I say, but they had me leading a ghost hunt that night, which was rather a shock because I usually don't do that sort of thing. But we did encounter someone who is simply there. And in my estimation, in my opinion, she was there in, I forget what year it was. It just, again, it was, is, will be. It doesn't make any difference. It's all one reality. You know my theories, David, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And this is essentially what it was. So it wasn't a matter of freeing someone. It was a matter of showing some solidarity across what we call time, across the worlds. And it was an intensely beautiful and intimate experience. We literally held hands and we just sent love. Back to this was a woman who apparently had lost her son and drowned in the river. This is an island in the Ohio River, and it was an intentionally beautiful experience. And I don't know about freeing people or sending them to the light, whatever that means. I mean, just all this stuff, just love, you know. To us, that's what we did. And one would hope that at times, despite anybody paying for anything, that this might become the trend in these sort of quote unquote ghost hunts. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, Paul,
go ahead.
Yeah, as I've been on some of these ghost hunts, I've noticed there's been very young children at a lot of these facilities. And I have a little bit of a concern with that.
I have a big concern with it.
So, and that's
I went round and round with a couple of people on this on the show, including dear old, you know, our friend Jeff Belanger, who's practically a neighbor of mine. And I said, you know, what are you doing? I mean, we're dealing with things that people have no idea how deep this goes or how dangerous it can get. And it's just, you know, you don't bring kids on this sort of thing. That, you know, nightmares, one thing, I don't know. It's terrible. Anyway, we're going to pause for a break. And Dave, would you stay on the phone with us? I don't want to run up your phone bill here. But
no, that's fine. I'll stay.
Continue our discussion after the break here on Behind the Paranormal. Stay with us.
Psychic Radio, 24 hours a day. Reach out from beyond to your ears. On the web now. Log on to psychiconair.com. Your spiritual well-being is our concern. This is Psychic Radio. Powered online by AOL at psychiconair.com. We know you're listening.
Spend all your time waiting for that second. And it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction. Oh, beautiful release. Memories seep from my veins. at your back. Storm keeps on twisting. Keep on building the lies that you make up for all that you lack. It don't make no difference. Escape one last time. It's easier to believe in this sweet madness, all this glorious sadness that brings me to my knees in the arms of the angel that you find some comfort here.
Psychic Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky. Back to Behind the Paranormal with Paul and Ben Eno. Call now 248-545-SOUL. New skyradio.com. Believe.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Behind the Paranormal. Our number does seem to be down, our toll-free number, but stick with the 248 number. That's 248-545-SOUL or 248-545-7685. Our guest this evening is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, paranormal renaissance woman, and we've already had an interesting conversation with a couple of callers talking about EVPs and ghosts and having a little, I guess, TLC at sites where people have ghost hunts. And we also have our good friend Dave Marsh, who's a reporter for our show, and we're going to continue our discussion. Does that answer your question, Dave? We were talking about the compassionate side of ghost hunting, I guess.
I'm just concerned with the growing trend of these hunts having more and more younger people and just being more marketed toward that, because I do like to be a very serious ghost hunter, and I get a lot of EVPs that are direct answers to direct questions, and I'm a little concerned when children see those, or children get those, or 12-year-olds get those.
I'm extremely concerned with that, particularly from a viewpoint that might not have occurred to some people. I was telling Rosemary before we started, we had a show on Saturday on a different station about teen suicide, and Ben and I, as a father and son, were giving sort of give and take on that. And Ben was 13 when he started this, and here I am. I'm always railing people about bringing their kids, but I don't know. He grew up with this, and he was extremely mature about it. And my wife and I were very, very concerned about making sure that he was ready for this. And he has been a tremendous asset. But that's unusual. The teen suicide thing, from the viewpoint of the paranormal, kill myself here, maybe I'll wake up in a better world, or whatever you want to, however you want to interpret the multiverse thing, or I can't deal with this here, and maybe it'd be, and this is the kind of thing you get. And I went hog wild, talking about parents, and they don't need pills, they need their parents, they need love, and they need to be shown that the world is what we make it, not what it makes us. This is why I agree with you 100%. I really think this is a matter of great concern, and again, encouraging kids to get involved with this I don't think anybody should be involved with this who isn't absolutely ready. I often say, I was at this conference a few years ago in Tampa, Ghost Hunting for Beginners, which I appeared at against my better judgment, and they say, okay, well, what's your advice for everybody? I said, don't. Don't do it. You have no idea the depth, the breadth, the danger, the beauty of what you're touching. You just don't know, and it's, I don't know. So, but again, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, but I certainly agree with you and hope other people do about children. Sorry, don't mean to go rambling on here.
Well, it is one of the downsides of it, and there are plenty of adults who get themselves into trouble, as well as exposing their children to a lot of things. The problem with the commercialization is it doesn't treat the paranormal very seriously, and so it becomes entertainment. And the reality shows are entertainment. They're not reality shows.
That's right.
It puts a different emphasis on things. As I was saying, it's a double-edged sword, because the benefit of it is that more people have become more acquainted with the paranormal, probably go. So one of the easiest ways that the general public can dip a toe in that water. And I think it brings home the point that places with activity or the closeness of these other realms, they're not just the odd place here and there. It's everywhere.
That's right. That's right. The whole planet, well, as John Keel would have said, the whole planet is haunted. I mean, it's just it's the natural state of the world. It's the natural state of the universe. This give and take between these worlds.
I've often said that there isn't a square millimeter on this planet that isn't haunted.
Yeah.
And if we picked up on all of the psychic overlays of all the phantom residues that have been left behind by living things, we would feel pushed right out of our reality. And so it's probably just as well that we can't tune in. We tune in to the more dramatic things, that the big events, emotionally intense events, are things that we have a resonance with. And we do have resonances with certain periods of history, and I think that's why we tend to encounter more ghosts in certain eras than in others.
Well, that is one thing I wanted to ask you. David, I didn't want to step on your toes here. Do you have any more questions for Rosemary?
No, that's it. Thank you both.
Oh, thank you for calling in. I'll hear from you again soon, I hope. Okay. Again, folks, if you'd like to be a reporter for our show, go to our show website, behindtheparanormal.com, and there's a little link there where you can fill you in on just how to do it. It's not too complicated, and you might enjoy it. Anyway, I don't know if you know Annette Martin, but she works with Lloyd Orbach, and she was on the show, a different show on a different station last week. And she's very traditional in her approach. And she happened to mention residual hauntings,
mm-hmm.
Which it's ironic because I was one of the original advocates of that theory. But then, you know, by the end of the 70s, early 80s, I didn't believe in it anymore. I said, you don't believe in residual hauntings? I said, no, I don't think it's good enough. I mean, you know. So what's your take? What's your take on that? First of all, what is a ghost? Let's go to the heart of it. And give us your interpretation of what a ghost is.
I think there are different explanations of ghosts. There are probably different kinds to account for the different phenomena that we experience. Most hauntings involve inactive imprints where you encounter the same thing in the same place, sometimes at the same time. You know, the ghost that always walks down the hallway, mm-hmm. always stands in the corner, that sort of thing. And they don't seem to interact with the living. They're just simply present in sort of this different dimensional space. And they are perceived when people can tune into that different dimensional space. And I think that they're residues left behind by the living, kind of like a psychic library of some sort. And then there are more active ghosts that I think are some sort of shells that are left behind, that there may be pieces of our personality or spirit, some sort of energetic thing that gets left behind that is capable of interacting more with the living. And I see those in progressive aspects where some exhibit a low level of activity and some a more intense level of activity. I do think that it is possible to be earthbound. That accounts for some of them. And some apparitions, may be some sort of vehicle that the dead or maybe masquerading beings from other dimensions can assume like a shape-shifted sort of form in order to manifest in this world. And that may account for some of our more active encounters as well.
All right.
I've really seen a wide range of things. I've seen full-bodied apparitions and partial-bodied. I've seen mysterious creatures, you know, phantom creatures that I can't explain. I've heard things, smelled things, felt things. You know, it's really run the gamut over the years.
Sure. Yeah. Well, me too. I don't know if you go as far as I do. I ask questions like, maybe it's the philosophy degree, but without our bodies, are we still us? That's why I have trouble with the spirit thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that's what really led me to kind of believe we're dealing with actual people bodies, and I don't believe in death at all, and I don't even believe in the death of the body because it's existing in so many ways and worlds, and it's all us. But that's me. I don't know. So you do essentially believe in residual hauntings. We got a break coming up here, but I'd like to ask, you know, how you think that might work after the break. But anyway, we're here in Behind the Paranormal. We're having a great conversation with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Join Mystic Radio with Rob and Alexis Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern and 12 noon Pacific as metaphysical mother and TV personality Robin Alexis helps countless people around the globe live fuller and more conscious lives. Robin serves you using her gifts as a medium, medical intuitive, past life reader, and more. Get your free on-air readings Wednesday at 3 Eastern and 12 noon Pacific right here on the Sky. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
It's the perfect time of year, somewhere far away from here. I feel fine enough, I guess, considering everything's a mess. There's a restaurant down the street where hungry people like to eat. I could walk, but I'll just drive. It's colder than it looks outside. It's like a dream, you try to remember, but it's gone. Then you're trying to scream, but it only comes out as a yawn. When you're trying to see the one beyond your front door, take your time, so way I'm gonna make you smile. When you realize the guy by side might take a while, just to try to figure out what all this is for. It's the perfect time of day to throw all your cares away. Put the sprinkler on the lawn and run through with my gym shorts on. Take a drink right from the hose and change into some drier clothes. Climb the stairs up to my room. Sleep away the afternoon. Like a dream, you're trying to remember when it's gone. Then you try to scream, but it only comes out as a yawn. When you try to see the one beyond your front door, take your time, so way I'm gonna make you smile. When you realize I've got my side, might take a while just to try to figure out what all this is for. Try to figure out what all this is for. Try to see the one beyond your front door. Try to figure out what all this is for.
Psychic Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Behind the Paranormal
with Paul and Ben Eno.
Call now
248-545-SOUL.
New skyradio.com. Believe.
Hey, welcome back to Behind the Paranormal with Paul and Ben Eno. Without the Ben tonight, I'm afraid. And we do have Rosemary Ellen Guiley, our good friend from Connecticut and paranormal renaissance woman. And we do seem to have our toll-free number up and working here at the last part of the show, 866-894-3141, toll-free in the USA, or our regular number, 248-545-SOUL, 248-545-7685. And we began to talk about ghosts, and I was going to ask Rosemary about residual hauntings, as they're called, or whatever term you may use. So, Rosemary, I've just been always been a little fuzzy on how that might work. Are you saying these are recorded on the environment, or how exactly would you explain it?
Well, nobody knows the mechanism by which, like an imprint, a phantom imprint, gets impressed in, I guess, what we would call etheric space. But there seems to be some sort of energy residue from the living which is able to linger behind in part of our reality and act like a phantom photo album or video album. And a lot of these are fragmentary. It's a glimpse of something left behind. These are often associated with intense emotional states or events. Most of these hauntings tend to have an unhappy edge to them because of these violent events. There may be something in the negative emotion that makes it easier for this to lodge in our psychic space. Murders, suicides, accidents, battles, wars, you know, things like that. And some ghosts who linger along in homes are known from historical record to have had intense emotional attachments to those places or to things that happened in those places. So there's something about our the emotional content of human living which seems to be able to leave behind a lasting record. Now, these don't seem to be permanent. Some of them fade over time, and I think that's why some old historical hauntings just don't hold after a while because they've lost their energy like a battery that runs down. So how long they last, I think, depends on the event. I think it depends on an investment from the living, the people who want to participate in that energy. And it may have to do a lot with geophysical factors, that there's something literally in our physical environment which lends energy that keeps that sort of thing going.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I have run into things like that many times in the past. But again, I always thought it doesn't quite do it. I don't know. I've seen, and I'm sure this happened to you too, standing, for example, at a site where something's going on and having the same sound seeming to repeat itself, different people reporting the same event. For example, the invisible ox cart driver at this place in 1971. It's been reported ever since, off and on. But again, you know, I just am not comfortable with the recording thing. It seems to me these were. And next time I'm over there, I think I know the guy's name. I'm going to try a little communication. Have you ever tried running toward one of these sounds, kind of chasing the thing, so to speak?
I have often tried to chase the phenomena, and it usually has a way of evaporating.
Well, to me, it kind of...
The closer you get to it, the more it recedes or disappears on you.
Well, I don't know. I haven't had quite that experience. When I chase the this or that sound or voice or whatever, it seems to have moved just over there. Or I chase it and it moves just over there. It doesn't disappear. I kind of interpret that as...
It can't be pinpointed in physical space.
No, exactly, because Einstein proved that space and time are curved. I think what is happening is holes are being punched in space-time. You're dealing with that. And this, I think, is really exciting, dealing with actual people. And I've gone, I think, beyond what a lot of people do at times, especially in cases where... I'm thinking of one case in Massachusetts where there was a woman contemplating suicide in whatever time or space she was living in, and we talked her out of it, and everything changed, you know. And so again, I think this is their bodies are there too. I don't believe in the spiritualist thing. I haven't found that to hold water. Again, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm just interpreting it wrong. I know I'm avoid. You know, everybody else believes something else, but I don't know. But again, whatever the explanation, it is very, very fascinating, and you can reach across and help. I think certain.
A lot of these haunted places, I think that they do sit in these portal areas, their openings, or places where there's an easier movement between dimensional realities, and so things come through.
Yeah, thin things.
But in so many of these haunted places, we find the same thing happening in the same place over and over again, and that lends itself to some sort of
imprint. Yeah, I can see what you mean. Yeah.
Why would something come through doing exactly the same thing all the time for people to witness?
Because that's where the worlds are merged at that point. That's my interpretation.
Well,
but again, who knows?
I see what you mean.
Who knows? You know, I mean, anybody. You know, the more you answer one question or think you do, and you get 10 others.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah. So
you know, you think you've got one layer solved, and then there's 10 layers behind that.
Yeah, and you exchange ideas and experiences, and everybody learns, hopefully. That's the thing. We're down to a couple of minutes here. I hate this because we have these wonderful conversations with great people like you, and we have to end them. You mentioned, we call them parasites, you know, negative entities who will masquerade or do these things. And, of course, in folklore, they're known as demons. You've had a lot of experience with them, have you?
Yes, I have. I've encountered entities that I think are shapeshifters and tricksters.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I think we don't really know what we're dealing with. We think we do, but do we really? And I think that accounts for a lot of our experiences with dark entities, entities that like to play tricks on us, or shape-shifting from one form to another. There are some hot spots where quite a range of phenomena, I think, can be accounted mm-hmm. for in that way.
Exactly. We're getting to be flat out of time here, but I wanted to remind everybody, visionaryliving.com, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and also International Metaphysical University, where she teaches some great courses, intermetu.com, hopefully soon, intermetu.edu, we'll hopefully getting accredited there. Rosemary, thank you so much. It's been great, and we hope to have you back many, many times for many, many great conversations.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, we'll be in touch. Okay. All right, folks. Well, we're coming down to the wire here, and I just wanted to remind you that we thank our producer, Will Kosnick. We'll see you right here next Sunday, January 24th, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific, on CBS Psychic Radio, New Sky Radio, psychiconair.com, when we'll welcome back an old friend of the show we haven't visited in some time for a very unusual show, animal communicator Karen Anderson, karenanderson.net, for a look at communication with animals, especially pets. And she will do a couple of readings, but it has been prearranged. People have already, I'm afraid all the spots are full. But again, Karen Anderson, look for her next week. Check out our Saturday show, 11 a.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific, WOON, 1240 a.m. in southeastern New England, onworldwide.com. And hear rebroadcast of this show here on CBS Psychic Radio, Saturday, 7 p.m. And I want to leave you with a quote from Albert Einstein. Imagination is more important than knowledge, for while knowledge defines all we currently know and understand, imagination points to all we might yet discover and create. Now, we wanted to, again, just thank you for listening in. And again, our friends on Para-X Radio, is our first time we've been live with them. Check our podcast as well, always available for free download, BehindTheParanormal.com. And we will see you next week.